Hi everyone, welcome back to the Now Bali podcast with me, Eddie Spears. Today we're going to be circling back to the subject of water. This was covered in episode 17, previously titled Agama Tirtha, Religion of Water, but I realized that the episode didn't quite flesh out enough on what this really means to Bali and how it all comes together. So in this episode, we'll be providing a really macro and detailed explanation on the importance of water to Balinese religion and how this plays out so significantly in everyday life. Episode 17 is more about the collection of holy water across the island and will likely make more sense after this episode if you want to revisit or listen to it after this. The Now Bali podcast is filmed at Genesis Creative Center, who support our program. You can find out more about them at inspire@genesis.com for any of your video, photo, podcast, recording needs. And now, on with the show. From the gurgling mountain spring to the churning sea, water has many parts to play in Bali. It is a revered element incumbent in everyday life, at least for the Balinese Hindu, who are said to even take its form as they move through the cycles of reincarnation. In life and in death, in heaven and on earth, this symbol of purity is constantly present. As such, the significance of water in Bali cannot be understated. In this episode, we seek to illustrate the many ways in which water is part of life on the island and why it is such a central element in Balinese belief. The religion of holy water. The Balinese form of Hinduism is quite distinct from what is practiced in India. It is something that evolved over time. It has animist roots, stemming from the island's predominantly agrarian society. Fertility is of utmost importance for farmers. It gives sustenance, health, and comfort. Water, as the central element of fertility, is therefore the giver of life. It must be revered. And so it is. Worship was thus done to ensure fertility, among other wishes, and this continued even when a Hindu cosmology was superimposed upon the existing animist and ancestral beliefs. The result is an amalgamation of the adat, the culture and rites that existed prior, and the Hindu philosophies, a fusion of local practices and universal beliefs. Yet this was no formalized religion, rather it was a way of life. They did not regard it as a bounded field demarcated from other aspects of their life, says Michel Picard. Prior to being termed Agama Hindu Bali, this bespoke belief system was called Agama Tirtha, the religion of holy water, because of how prevalent and important holy water is to its believers. Making Tirtha. Holy water in Bali is called Toya in medium Balinese or Tirtha in high Balinese. Importantly, holy water is not symbolic. It is considered a powerful agent. It is a sakala container of a niskala power, explains Fred B. Eisman Jr., meaning it is a physical medium for something unseen, something sacred and divine. It is used in all religious affairs, small to large, personal to universal, and there are many types of holy water depending on where it comes from and what it will be used for. Through a process called maweda, holy water can be made by three people: the pamanku, or lay priest, the padanda, the high priest, and also the dalung, or the puppet master. Normally, a pamanku will prepare holy water at the temple for which they are assigned, made for the visiting worshippers to use during prayers or to collect to bring home. As specific temples worship specific gods or deities, the holy water from that temple may be sought out for a specific purpose. Normally, the padanda high priests, privy to special mantras and mudras or hand gestures, will create more powerful tirtha, made for special ceremonies and the manusa yajna, the rites of passage, like the otanan Balinese birthday or matata tooth filing and the pangabanan cremation ceremony. The padanda will make tirtha for panglukatan pambersian, the cleansing mulukat ceremony, or pamalaspas for house blessings, among many other utilities. The dalang, or puppet master's holy water, is of a special kind, created during a Wayang performance and is used often to exorcise or cleanse someone from illness, curses, or bad fortune. In history, the priests themselves would travel to distant sources to collect holy water, to lakes and mountaintops. Sources can be unique, such as at Puraluhur Lempuyang, where one can retrieve the holy water held inside bamboo shoots. Pilgrimages to sacred places with corresponding holy water is one of the duties of religious Balinese, explains Jean Couteau. Most temples have their specific Pratirtaan or Purabiji, temples with holy wells. This water itself has to be asked from Vishnu as the lord of water and Dewi Danu as the goddess of the lakes, he explains. Today, with the ease of travel, many Balinese will go themselves to seek out holy water directly from a specific source. To be purified. Holy water is used in religious affairs, large and small. It is used at home, offices, farms, for offerings. It is sprinkled, sprayed, and drank at prayers at the temple, and is used in abundance in larger ceremonies from Odalan to Otonan. Two ceremonies in particular are centered on the cleansing nature of water. The Malukat ceremony is a personal purification, often held at a holy spring temple or Purabiji temple. Worshippers will come to pray and then bathe in a series of fountains to cleanse mind, body, and spirit. It is a purification of one's negative aspects. The most famous site for this is Tirta Empul in Tambak Siring, where a natural spring is said to have been made by Lord Indra himself. But there are many sites from Malukat around the island. Another important ceremony is Malasti. It is another cleansing ceremony, but for more important sacred or holy artifacts and effigies. They are brought out of temples and storage to be cleansed in nearby bodies of water, most commonly to the sea, where they are richly cleansed at the end of the Saka calendar year. Those familiar with the Balinese belief system may be asking if Kaja, or towards the mountain, is considered the holy direction, then isn't its opposite, Kalod, towards the sea, unholy? Not at all. The sea is equally holy. It is where the gods created Amerta, the elixir of life and immortality. There are many important sea temples, such as Puratanalot and Puraluhur Uluwatu. One can collect holy water from the sea as well, called Tirta Segara. Such purification ceremonies are done to cleanse two important factors, the Buana Alit, the microcosm found within the human, and the Buana Agung, the macrocosm, the universe external to humans. Blessed bodies of water. Holy springs are important sites, as are Bali's many lakes, all of which feature important temples dedicated to Dewi Danu and Vishnu. Before any science would corroborate it, the ancient Balinese understood that these bodies of water feed the rivers and groundwater across Bali, which in turn keep their lands fertile. Transcending mere religious events, holy water runs through the entire landscape of Bali. This is thanks to the intricate water-sharing system of the island's rice farmers, known as subak. On its journey from mountain lakes and springs down to the sea, water is continuously blessed and revered, siphoned from rivers into a complex network of temples, weirs, and terraced plots, before being reverted back into its main channel down to the ocean. There are 16 different rituals that must be conducted by each subak organization, with the ultimate goal of ensuring fertility of the rice crop. These are offerings devoted to Vishnu, Dewi Sri, Dewi Danu, and the farmers will worship at the many levels of the water's journey. This includes an annual pilgrimage to the lake temples, seasonal prayers at the Pura Ulun Sui, found at the original dam when water was first diverted out of the main water source, and daily sprinkles of holy water at the Sangha, Chatu, and Pura Badugul shrines at the farm level. Balinese Hinduism has tried to shake off its animist past since it was officially regarded as a religion, but these roots and the fertility rituals continue to this day, justified with the addition of Hindu cosmology. One could argue that these rituals give reverence to the lakes, rivers, springs, and seas of the island. They give them a life of their own, a magical and spiritual essence that elevates nature above banality. As a Tibetan proverb says, if there is veneration, even a dog's tooth gives forth light. In life, in death. All we have discussed is water's place in the Sakala or seen world. However, the theme of water continues even after one has passed from this earthly realm. As Jean Couteau explains, and I quote, "Death rites do not end with the world-famous Balinese cremation. They are complete only when the soul has been definitively separated from its earthly envelope and delivered to its place of origin above the mountain, Tana Aneaya. On completion of the rites, the dead are said to have become water, Suba Dadiye." End quote. Reincarnation sees the ancestors come down from their abode above the mountain as a drop of water, or titisan, to give new life, continuing samsara, the cycle of life. Even then, when a baby is successfully conceived, it is surrounded by water in the womb, and when it is born, until it dies, its life is consumed by ceremonies with holy water. So in life and in death, in heaven and on earth, water remains present. The Balinese Hindu constantly on the search for holy water, revering it, purifying and cleansing with it. To preserve this water, from the mountain to the sea, to ensure it is accessible, clean, unpolluted, is therefore of utmost importance across the island. Okay, there you have it, a roundup of the many ways water is significant in Bali, which helps to explain this idea of Agama Tirtha, religion of water. To be honest, it gets even more complex and we can break it down to the different types of holy water, how they're made, where they come from. And this is precisely what Jean Couteau does in Timeless Bali Volume 2, in which he contributes a very detailed explanation of Agama Tirtha. Depending on when you're listening to this, our annual publication, Timeless Bali, Volume 2, is either out soon or it is out already, so please check our website, nowbali.co.id, to find out more. Also about our first volume, which remains available. Again, thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoy our content, please recommend to a friend, rate us on your podcast platform or share online, or even drop us an email. This is Eddie Spears for the Now Bali podcast. See you next time.